Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Operation Earth. I am Dr. Mal Winning, and this is a show in which I basically chat to other comedians about climate change. Specifically, we tend to go through a carbon footprint calculator with them to see what they're doing in their life and what they know about it. And we're trying to find out long-term who the greenest comedian is. Welcome back. If you have listened to the episodes before, we haven't done an episode for quite a long time. I think it was the end of last summer. We've got 7 episodes before. If you're a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you are an old listener, welcome back. Thank you for returning. I mean, it's very unlikely that you've stayed subscribed to this for basically 6 or 7 months, I would imagine. But here we are. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Climate change is, I'm still working on it every day, but I think in people's minds it's maybe not quite as much at the forefront since we have something. I mean, who thought that, you know, climate change would be so sort of 2019. 2020 is the year of the global virus. It's been interesting, certainly, but that's not the only reason that it's taken me about 6 months to get an episode out. Lots of other reasons as well, but we have recorded a number of episodes, planning on doing a lot more going forward, so we are back and we are in the driving seat, but it's an electric car. This is an episode with Ishan Akbar and Sunil Patel, two very, very funny men. It was a really fun episode to do because they know each other quite well and they were quite combative throughout it. I had a lot of fun chatting to both of them. Sunil has been on Borderline, Stathlet's Flats, Beat the Internet with John Robbins, and is a very, very funny stand-up comedian. I saw his show at the Edinburgh Festival in 2019. It was excellent, but we've known each other for quite a long time. And Ishan has been on Mock the Week, Frankie Boyle's New World Order. He hosts Radio 4's Newsjack Unplugged. Basically, also a very, very, very talented stand-up comedian. So this was me chatting to both of them, and I hope you enjoy it. I'll speak to you afterwards. Bye. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode. I'm joined by Ishan Akbar and Sunil Patel, two of the most charming men in comedy.
Stop it.
Thank you.
Wow. I bet you give that intro to everybody.
No, definitely not. Not the men. You're the most charming man we've had. There's a more charming woman, but yeah.
Who's that?
I'm not at liberty to say. I can't remember. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Chatting. Sunil and I, we go back quite a bit.
We go way back.
Yeah.
2012?
Yes.
I wasn't even born then.
No, in comedy terms.
Didn't exist back then. Yeah, you're a relative, I mean, far more successful than either of us in the short time that he's lived.
That's not true.
Yeah, but we go way back.
BBC Final?
Yeah, we did the BBC New Comedy Blackpool. Awards together.
Did you? The final?
2012, yeah.
Were you at the final, Sunil?
Yes.
I mean, nobody would remember that either of us were in the final of a national comedy competition.
I think other finalists have gone on to do way better. They've done very well.
Yeah, I mean, but we were there.
We were there.
I've still got the little trophy somewhere.
Same here.
It's the only thing I've ever got.
I didn't get past the heats.
I mean, it got pretty tough after we...
Yeah, I think it was early days, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were okay. And you started 2014. Oh, remarkable.
Did I inspire you in any way? Did you see me on the BBC final and think...
No, you did inspire me at one of the very first gigs I performed at.
Don't tell this story again.
I want to.
Okay.
So Neil was the headliner at this gig.
Oh, wow.
And I was, you know, amazed to see a brown dude headlining a gig.
Ah.
I was like, yo, you know, let's be friends.
And
So Neil told me that all the Asian comedians had a WhatsApp group where they would discuss material to make sure there was no overlap. Uh-huh. And 2 weeks later, I messaged Sunil to say, yo, how do I get involved in this WhatsApp group? And he said, it doesn't exist. I thought I made it up.
I thought he'd know I was joking. The idea that Asian comedians would get together to make sure we weren't all doing the same Asian jokes.
So that's how my career started.
You started the WhatsApp group after that.
Yeah, I did. Sunil's not invited.
I'm not actually invited of the ethnic minority groups. There's a few WhatsApp groups for non-white comedians, and I'm not invited to any of them.
I think you guys might be the first non-white people on the podcast.
Really?
Which is good, because then we can actually, you know, we're here talking about climate change all the time, but it's just, you know, people that have British parents. And
Traditionally, white people care more about the environment, I think.
Yeah, I've heard.
I think that's a common misconception.
I've heard studies suggesting that, but maybe it's just within certain countries.
Oh, I was joking. I just thought it was because my mum doesn't recycle, that's all.
Yeah. But I mean, obviously, at a global level, I imagine that's not the case.
No.
People that actually have to,
Yeah, that's true. Well, we don't know, yeah. I mean, interesting to find out.
My experience has been that because of, if you take the socioeconomic statuses of many of the countries which are regarded as being bad for the environment, actually, because there is a lack of money, they become more frugal. And frugality often inspires good environmental habits.
Yeah, the consumerism hasn't quite reached that level of income, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main thing.
That was
a
very articulate sentence from me, wasn't it?
From you.
It was very good.
It was very good. Well done.
Thanks. That surprised me. Anyway.
I did read some very positive news about, like, progress in the world where people always worry about, you know, there's too much poverty, there's still too much poverty, there's still, and also global warming and stuff. But the fact is that as countries get richer, obviously poverty reduces and people care more about the environment as they get richer and richer, it seems.
Yeah, I think it's the solution is trying to have that, but also not have overconsumption at the same time.
Yeah.
So not just buying loads of unnecessary shit or having massive SUVs. If you can marry those two things, you've solved it.
Yeah.
And poor people aren't doing that, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, there was a tweet the other day that Donald Trump's son, Eric Trump, said, you know, I think it was attacking Greta Thunberg, saying, if you really cared about this, you would focus on the big polluters like China and India.
Mm.
And I made the point that India's emissions are half of the United States emissions, and they've got three times the amount of people.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, just basic facts.
Yeah.
Show that that's not the case.
When did facts ever get in the way of an argument?
Very true. Anyway, so we are here. First of all, though, we'll get on to some other. I mean, it's been interesting so far, but we want to find out which of you guys is the has the best green credentials for the moment. So we're going to go through this carbon footprint calculator. Do you think you're a particularly green guy?
I am, yeah. I definitely am.
Really?
Yeah. More so than people realise, I think.
Yeah?
I was the Young Environmentalist of the Year in 1997.
What?
Well, run a competition.
Yeah, I was runner-up in the Young Environmentalist of the Year.
Yeah.
1997.
What did you do?
Bob Holness gave me an award.
Really?
Where?
Yep, at the Dorchester.
Amazing. But what did you do to it?
So basically, you had to submit like a story or a journalistic piece about the environment. And this was at the time when CFC gases were like,
that
was the big thing.
Yeah.
And I wrote a comic strip. Drew and wrote a comic strip which envisaged a world where a group of friends who lived underwater found land, and this land had replenished after, you know, human beings in the past had destroyed the world, and then they were like, right, we've got to make sure we have the same good habits.
Yeah.
We have good habits to preserve this land that's reborn.
Is this the plot of Waterworld?
Is it? I don't know, I've never watched Waterworld.
Where humans have evolved gills and they've lost all the land.
No, they had like scuba masks on. I hadn't thought about gills at the time.
Yeah.
But they found land, and then after they found the land, they were just like, we're going to have to look after it, preserve it, and
then they ruined it. Oh, right.
No, they were the ones after it had been ruined. This is incredible. Do you still own that? Does this exist?
It's got to be somewhere. I've got to look for it somewhere.
I don't think you should have won a prize for that.
Why?
I think you should have won a prize for writing a nice story. But not as Young Environmentalist of the Year.
It showed an environmental awareness because I was highlighting the
things. But you hadn't... Yeah, okay, yeah.
What age were you at the time?
97, so I would have been 13.
Wow. And you were writing comics about the environment back then.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
I dug a pond at that age.
Okay, that's quite active.
Yeah, actually, to help the local wildlife. I was actually helping live animals.
I was helping the discourse.
You were raising awareness. You were an activist at an early age.
He was getting the awards back then.
He was getting the awards. This is the problem. You know, people get awards for just talking these days, don't they? It's nonsense.
Whereas it's action that matters.
I recycle.
Does the pond still exist?
Yeah, it's pretty rank now. I should bleach it, get rid of everything.
And the first question is, how would you best describe your diet? Now, this is...
Terrible. Is that an option?
So the options that they give you are meat in every meal, meat in some meals, meat very rarely, no beef, vegetarian or vegan.
I would say, personally, I think I have meat in every meal. It's not that I want to. I just... the options presented... I'm often not at home when I'm eating.
Yeah.
And the options I'm presented with don't sound... there's good vegetarian meals out there, but the meat ones just seem better value.
They just seem like you're getting more for your bang for your buck.
Why am I paying £5 for falafel? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Frugality.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm having less meat nowadays.
Yeah.
And that is... because my partner is vegetarian.
Right. That helps.
So whenever I'm with her, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
And when I'm after a night out, you know, often I'd go for a kebab or something. Mm-hmm. Hmm. But she's very good at organising her time and having something in the oven because she knows that when we get back, you can just whack it on.
One of those people.
Yeah.
Really, so I end up good, really good person to have around.
So I end up the kebab, last time I was out with her, I had this aubergine thing.
Oh, at home?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, oh my God, I saved money and I had vegetables and I feel fine.
I would much rather live like that.
Yeah, so I'm having meat in some meals now, I'd say.
Okay.
But it's tricky because I come from a Muslim background and we have one particular festival dedicated to killing cows. Yeah.
To killing cows, is it?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
The one, not Ramadan, the other ones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, cows are seen as kind of the worst animal for methane emissions in terms of... So is it a good thing that they're killing cows? Because we're actually getting rid of lots of cows. Yeah, well, or would those cows not have existed were it not for the Muslim
This is it, right?
Faith?
It's a kind of chicken and egg. Whatever the equivalent is for cows. But, like in Bangladesh, for example, nowadays, especially because of wealth, what will happen is families will... You're meant to have just one cow and feed the whole village.
Got you.
But now one family will have four or five cows.
Wow.
Cull them, and the streets will be rivers of blood, literal rivers of blood. It's absolutely insane.
Morning, noon and night, people are just eating
all this meat and just giving this beef out to villages and stuff.
Oh, wow.
When
does that happen?
I should know this.
Just going to look for a spike in global emissions.
I can't remember.
Don't worry. So, second question. In a week, how much do you spend on food from restaurants, canteens and takeaways? Do you guys tend to eat out quite a lot?
I do. I definitely do. Maybe I'd say 10 to 50 pounds.
Yeah, I'd say 10 to 50 as well.
Okay. So you're...
Is this a worry about the packaging? Is that the kind of thing?
No, it's more that then, rather than you... It's just an extra place that has to exist to provide you with food that has to be heated and there has to be cooked. You know, rather than it just being the ingredients coming to your house and you're doing it, it's another oven has to exist and all the people have to get there to do it. You know, it's just extra stuff,
I had no idea essentially. About that. I thought it'd be more efficient to have lots of people eating from one place.
It's a good point. But as far as I've seen from the numbers, it's actually eating out a lot worse than just eating at home.
Bizarrely, the idea of cooking at home has not been around that long, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Because in Victorian times, especially in London, people wouldn't have space for a kitchen.
Yeah.
So they'd street vendors would be where most people got their food from.
It is pretty good, I think. But then I guess that's different. It was street vendors. It was someone on the street doing it rather than us having to have a Westfield, for instance.
Yeah. Or the fact that you have, five different cafes all basically serving the same thing.
Yeah.
But you go depending on which brand you're most loyal to.
And so another big part of that is the next question, which is like looking at food waste.
Yeah.
So a huge, well, you know, at home at least you can sort of control the amount of food you're having.
Yeah.
And try to reheat stuff or whatever, whereas a lot of these, you know, shops and stuff will buy in loads of things, sell what they can, and then there's just food waste. Although they're beginning to have like apps and stuff. There's one that I started trying to use called Too Good To Go.
Yes. I've used it.
Have you used it?
Yeah, I've used it. I've bought some stuff from Paul, the
baker. The baker.
It's a great deal. It's like £2.50 and you get a pastry, a sandwich, and that's it. It's pretty good.
It's what it probably should cost in the first place.
It's appallingly expensive otherwise, isn't it? But yeah.
Oh, I see we did that. Appalling. Very good.
Very good of me to slip a pun in.
Appallingly.
Oh, that's the title of the show this week.
Is that the kind of stuff you want?
That's why we got you here.
It's a good app. I do like it.
Okay, so yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear you using it already.
I mean, the variety of stuff there isn't huge, but...
Yes.
And also, I feel like I should be paying full price, and I should be leaving that for people who do want.
No.
Okay.
It's good. Otherwise, it just would get wasted, or nobody would, you know.
Have you done it yet? Have you bought anything?
I've done one from a place near my work, but that's... And it's a really expensive place, so I was just like, this is the only way I'm going to buy food from here is if it's...
Do they do what they do at Paul, which is like put all the bags of stuff for people like us on the side with our names on it? They're like, here he comes.
Here he comes. Just shame you into not doing it. Ishan, do you think you eat? Are you a person that would just eat, would reuse stuff, you know, reheat things and just eat
them? Yeah, you know, my mum was a big advocate of cooking in big batches.
Yeah.
Eating what we could and then giving out the rest to neighbours.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Same here, yeah. Mums who cook for families are the most efficient users of resources in this world.
Yeah, absolutely insane.
We should just put them in charge
of
all global resources.
Yeah. People who have to manage a household budget, they know what they're doing. We're idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Splashing around money.
All the Tupperware, everything is recyclable.
I was given Tupperware by my mum last week when I came home from visiting her, which was a ice cream tub from the 1990s.
Right, there you go.
It's so old, the stuff that they've reused.
Yeah. Wow.
It's incredible. Gino Ginelli ice cream.
Yes.
Yeah, it was one of them.
Gino Ginelli. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
Still going. Still been used to it.
Yeah.
We've still got... like, my dad still puts stuff in, like, those resealable bags, the Ziploc bags.
Yeah, yeah.
But the zip's broken. So he's got stickers.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's not wasting
and
it a good
is so
bag.
Old now. I don't even know if it... We might be getting poisoning from the bag, but...
BPA.
Yeah. Slowly dying. In terms of food, we're going to say... I'm just following along with Ishan's.
Yeah, I'm same as that. Yeah.
So, what are we saying? 0 to 10%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on that one. Okay, and do you pay attention at all to where your food comes from? Is that a thing you're aware of? Like, do you look at whether it says Peru versus...
I don't, but less and less of the stuff I buy is from supermarkets, which is flown in. And I just don't like supermarket vegetables where they're like, they have to be perfect and they're packaged like that. I can't do that anymore. So I go to my local greengrocer. I don't know where they get it from.
Yeah.
And it looks disgusting, but I don't care.
But it tastes fine.
It tastes fine, exactly. You're just boiling it up half the time, isn't
it?
Yeah, I'd say about 30% of my shopping is from a chain supermarket.
Uh-huh.
And the rest is from local kind of, I call them ethnic stores.
Yeah.
So they get it stuff delivered from Bangladesh, Pakistan, just the spices and the rice and the food and the fish.
Everything's coming in
from there.
Oh, okay.
And the meat apparently comes from halal butchers. So
yeah.
We take their word for it. If it's not, they're going to hell, not me.
Yeah.
It's easier to do, I think, in London, especially when you've got so many of those local shops which can do that for you. But I know my mum has to go, like, obviously has to, in Bath, you just have to go and get it from... Like, she works with M&S and there's so much plastic involved in everything there.
Yeah, I think they're beginning to try, they're trying to replace all their stuff.
I would love that to happen.
Yeah.
I'd love that to not, there's that service where they sell, like, odd vegetables, isn't there?
Oh,
yes.
Oddbox.
Oh, wow.
My friend showed it to me the other day and the stuff in those apps, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine and I would happily buy that in a supermarket. I don't need it packaged.
That's one thing I'm happy about Brexit for.
What?
The need to not have absolutely perfect vegetables.
Oh, is that an EU thing?
Oh.
Apparently it's an EU thing.
Really?
Yeah, the EU. Yeah. Like, you've got to have perfectly...
Yeah, okay.
Boom. I mean, I don't know if that is. I mean,
it sounds like a Daily Mail.
I probably read the wrong thing there, haven't I?
I feel like that was a lie from 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no,
but maybe you're right. So what you're saying is... So we're recording this a couple of days before the UK's about to
and
leave.
And I'm glad for it.
Ishan's
finally
really
glad. Wonky vegetables.
Yes. Day of his life.
That's what we all want, really. Deep down, we all want just weird looking potatoes.
I want purple carrots. Yeah. That's what I want.
Why not?
So what we're going to answer here?
I've said I don't look, but...
Don't worry.
I don't worry about
it. Let's go with some, because it's the average between us.
We're now on to transport. Do either of you gentlemen drive?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Both got cars?
Yes.
What have you got?
I've got a hybrid.
Ooh,
Yaris.
Damn it. Killed me on that one.
Great.
Yeah. And I only use that for long journeys, so I don't use it for...
Amazing.
Yeah. Even though it's built for short journeys, really.
Yeah.
I use it for long journeys because I need it to get to gigs and stuff. But fuel economy is pretty good. I had an old car before that because I thought it would be better.
Yeah. Well, it's better to just keep going with what you've
got. It's hard to know, isn't it? Yeah. But then I got this new car and it's an absolute dream. You've got... what have you got? I've been in your car.
Yeah, I've got
4x4 sort of SUV.
A mini SUV. Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
You've had all the other seats taken out so no one else can drive.
Yeah, exactly.
I get why you'd have an SUV, especially for motorway driving.
Yeah, I bought the mini SUV just for that reason.
Yeah.
Motorway driving, and it's very comfortable, and the fuel economy is pretty good on it. Yeah. But that said, after I bought it, I have started using it less because I do travel by train a lot more now.
Much prefer train, yeah.
Around the country.
Yeah.
I think part of it, again, is because my partner lives in Lancaster,
right,
up north, so it's a 2.5-hour train journey.
Shout out to any listeners in Lancaster.
Yeah, Lancaster, Manchester, Northwest Massive.
Nice.
But I now take the train up because it's a 5.5-hour drive or a 2.5-hour train.
Oh, no question.
I spend more time on trains than I do in the car now, actually. That's me trying to say, what's that?
That's a good thing. You're trying to get this Young Environmentalist of the Year award. Still. You've got to hold on to what you've got.
Yeah.
You don't want to put that out at the start and then just come across as an absolute.
Yeah, I know. I was doing well until the car situation turned up.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, so what kind of vehicle we're going to say? Car as a driver or passenger?
I would say I walk, cycle, or use public transport.
Yeah, definitely. In London,
Was that the previous? Oh, neither. Okay. But it's asking you what?
Most often. Most often I use public transport.
Yeah.
Car I use maybe 3 times a month.
Same.
4 times a month.
Okay, let's go for that. Neither. Yeah. Okay. This is going to be pretty tight, I would imagine. We'll just have to see
which.
It's going to be down to like one or two questions where you differ.
But I'm worried that you're going to take into account that he won Young Environmentalist of the Year.
I think that's going to go against him.
Damn it. I put my cards to
that.
Okay, so how many hours a week do you spend on the train for personal use, including commuting? Ishan was just saying you use the train a lot.
Yeah.
I
don't use it that much. Maybe 2 to 5 hours, just local commuting on the train.
Yeah, okay. I'd say mine would be 5 to 15. But again, that's not every single week. So maybe 2 to 5 is probably a fair reflection.
Does that include tube?
Yeah.
Okay.
The train trip to Lancaster is okay. I did it recently. I did a show, my show in Lancaster.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Yeah,
it's nice.
Two and a half hours is a good time to be on a train.
Oh, it's lovely,
I am going, so we're recording this on, I mean, it doesn't matter what day, on a Tuesday. In 2 days' time, I'm going to Brussels and back in the same day.
Lovely.
Oh.
And I need to get up at like 5 a.m. or something.
It's definitely worth it.
It's only like 2 hours.
Yeah, I did a gig in Brussels recently. I also do the same day thing, and it's not bad at all.
Yeah. I cannot stand flying at all full stop, so I'd much rather get a train to somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You can do something on the train. You can sit there and actually work or read or do. You're on a plane, you just can't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking briefly before we started here about a website which you've had a look at.
Oh, the man from seat 71.
I think it's 61.
61.
But he's very good. He picks the same seat. Is that right? I think he picks the same seat on each train journey.
And the YouTube videos he does of like travelling around Europe by train are beautiful. I'd love to do, you could just, I would do one of those for fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like go from like Vienna to Venice.
I think...
I panicked.
That's quite a long commute.
It is.
You started at the end of the alphabet and you went, where do we go from here?
European trains just seem a lot nicer. I don't know why.
They are really nice.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think the problem with like long train journeys is that people associate it with interrailing and they think, oh, you have to be like 18 to go on like backpacking train journeys. But now it's like, can we make it a little bit fancy, more comfortable.
And dining carts.
Yeah.
That kind of vibe.
Bring back all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And they care more about their food there as well. So the food isn't just like an old sandwich.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's a delightful experience according to the YouTube videos.
Yeah,
thoroughly recommend it.
Didn't Michael Portillo have like a...
We were talking about this.
Great British Rail journeys or something.
Yeah, I need to watch that. This is old people's news. Why am I more interested in train journeys these days?
That's good. We've reached that point. It was your birthday recently. So
it was, yeah. Maybe it's just because of that, yeah.
What about buses? You guys into buses?
Hate them.
Only very recently got into them.
Okay.
Really?
Very recently.
As in local buses?
Yeah.
Why?
Very recently. It just, I was like, actually, it saves time on me walking. And actually, the bus routes in London are very good. They get you to...
They are. Yeah, they are very good.
The awkward parts of London that get you into.
Yeah.
What do you hate so much about buses?
I just want a seat to myself, and it's busy.
Yeah.
And it moves, like it moves around a lot, so you're thrown around a bit when you're standing up to get off.
Got you.
It's pathetic. Don't let me get away with that. It's absolutely pathetic. And the school children on there, I'm scared of them.
Yeah, that's true.
I got attacked by a gaggle of school
girls.
Did you? Yeah.
You almost want... Yeah, it's too...
Attacked by a gaggle of school girls?
Yeah.
I don't want to know. What? Go on, then.
Do you think we need, like... for you, do we need, like, first class and second class bus travel?
Yeah. I would love demarcated seating on a bus.
School children have to go in one area.
It's going
to
turn into a Rosa Parks situation. Yeah. I don't want, you know...
Okay, we'll skip that.
I think
that.
Children should walk.
Yeah. I agree.
What do you want to put?
Bus. I don't travel by bus.
Okay.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're going to go for under an hour in a week?
Yeah, I'd say 1 to 3 hours, yeah. 1 to 3 hours.
Now, the big one, flights. Now, Sunil, you said you hate flying.
I do.
Do you take flights at all?
Oh, yeah. I think I take maybe one sort of European flight a year.
Okay.
And that's only because I've been on holiday recently.
Where did you go?
I went to Berlin.
Okay.
And... That's the only flight I've done in the last year. I think domestic flying I could never do, like Glasgow and Edinburgh. I'd much prefer to get the train. And any long-haul flight, I haven't done London long-haul for ages, not for a long time.
So. Yeah, I've had a couple of holidays in Europe in the last year.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of gigs in Europe. So I'd probably say I've had 4 European flights, but no domestic ones.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is that 1,250 kilometres, are we saying?
Yeah, 1,250 is a European.
Hard to tell, isn't it, when you're flying, how far you're traveling?
Yeah. It's one of those things that,
that's one of my favourite statements I've ever heard.
Hard to tell, isn't it? Kilometres and stuff,
No, but that's part of the problem, is you're just like, I don't know, it takes like 5 hours.
You do it the timing,
You have no idea the distances you're travelling or how you...
Is it like, I think Amsterdam's 250 kilometres or something.
It's closer to Amsterdam than it is to Newcastle.
That's it.
And people are just like, it's a different country, I guess.
I've got the train there before and it's absolutely delightful.
Yeah,
but the way back, it doesn't make it easy because you've got to change train.
I think they're trying to change that now. I think it's about to
have one
shift,
direct route.
So it's just one direct, one back.
Even though
there's water.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Great.
It's
okay.
still happening.
Thank God for Brexit.
Thank God for Brexit.
I think it's happening in spite of Brexit rather than because of. Do you guys offset your flights at all?
Ever I don't know what that means.
So you basically just pay extra money for someone to plant some trees because...
Oh, I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah. So some airlines give you it as an option, but they don't make it that obvious, a lot of them, on their website. But then there's lots of other companies that you can go to be like, I would like, you know, you put in like where you went to, and then they'll say, well, this is how many trees or whatever you should plant or how much money you should give to offset that amount of emissions.
Is that a faith-based system, like recycling?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's nonsense.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's complete nonsense.
It's better than nothing, I guess.
Is it?
But it's not. I think I saw a study last week saying that about 85% of them are useless.
Where are these trees being planted?
Yeah, where are they?
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So you know, it depends. You know, it's not a bad idea, but it's trying to cure something. It's been basically just allowing yourself to continue doing stuff.
If everybody does it at some point, the airlines are going to be like, okay, we've run out of space to fly from.
Put trees all over the runway.
No more holidays.
What kind of house do you live in?
I'm in a semi-detached.
Terraced.
Ooh. It's your own home, so don't give away anything you don't want to. But
40 Pemberton Road.
Bedrooms, I have three.
How many bedrooms?
I have five.
Nice.
I don't personally, it's rented. But
yeah, okay. I guess, yeah, so this is household sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think we're quite, more people you stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. How many people live in your house?
Two.
Ooh.
Oh, Aisha.
Is this going to make a difference?
My brother just moved out.
What is he thinking? He could have won you this quiz. And his wife.
And his wife.
They were living there, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Oh, so when did this happen?
They left about 2 months ago.
Oh.
And now you leave the lights on in the room where he was, just as a reminder. Okay. Okay.
Are you going to... Is anything going to happen to those rooms?
I might rent it out.
Oh.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that's interesting. My contract's up soon.
Oh, would you live with me?
I don't think that would be wise, though, would it? It would be confusing for your father.
Yeah, that's true. My dad gets confused between me and my brother. Definitely. My dad once mistook Sunil for my brother.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's worse stories than that. His brother flyered for me in Edinburgh with my flyers saying, please come and see my dad, Sean. He absolutely nailed it.
Got a
lot of people in.
That's really funny. Younger brother, older brother?
Yeah, younger brother.
That's funny. Do you know how you heat your home?
Gas.
Yeah, I think everybody... I mean, it's going to have to change.
Is
soon.
Wood better or something?
If it's
okay.
Not really.
Is it not better? I thought it would
be. If you grow it yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
I've been thinking of getting a fireplace.
Yeah, don't do that.
Really?
Well, you're going to have to change it. So it's going to change soon anyway. If government regulations come into place and stuff over the next 30 years, you're not going to really be able to burn anything in your houses. You're going to have like electric heaters and stuff, because gas, wood, coal fires all create emissions. And so if we are going to kind of go to like zero emissions by 2050, then it has to be electric. So everyone in the UK's boilers and it's going to have to be changed.
Is there no such thing as good emissions?
That's a good question. We need to.
That's a good question.
There has to be some.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
There has to be like some amount of emissions in the atmosphere, but the problem is we've just been adding more and more and more.
Okay.
So at the moment, I would say no is the answer to that.
I don't know why you're laughing so hard.
I don't know, because I've never heard that question asked.
That's
it's
a
like
good question.
It did have a good answer.
I mean, it's good that things exist, you know, that some emissions exist, but at the rates that they exist at the moment, then I'd say no.
Because I think of it as like immunity. So, like, for example, as a kid, because I'd mess around with dirt and stuff, I wouldn't get so ill.
Oh, I see.
But
if it's too sterile environment, I don't know if that's conducive.
But there's always emissions from like stuff like volcanoes.
Yeah, exactly. That's all the natural. That's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Which
it regulates itself, doesn't it?
It's just that we've started pulling it back out of the ground and putting it into the oceans and the sky.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, is your electricity on a green tariff?
Mine is on a green tariff, but it's not 100% renewables.
Mine is with Bulb, and I don't know if they're green or not.
Yeah.
They are,
right.
Okay. So is that a yes, 100%?
I think the electricity is 100%, yeah. Yeah, it will be.
Ah, cool, okay.
Guys, are you one of these... I mean, we've heard that Ishan leaves his whites on.
I accused him of that. That was my
brother.
That was my
that
accusation.
Were there any more? No.
I did turn my appliances off onto standby, but yeah. My big bugbear, say for example in this room we're recording now, there's a couple of plug points where the switch is on.
Yeah.
I always like to switch them off, and I don't know whether that makes a difference or not.
I don't think that does.
Okay.
But I know what you mean. Yeah. I do that as well. I'm just like, why is that on?
Yeah.
Do
you want to
turn the sound of
Could you get the sound of that? Does that make you feel better?
Is that all right?
You've been sitting here the whole time, just been like furious. Why is that? Who would leave that on? Yeah. But then if it's on a green tariff, doesn't matter.
Does it not?
Well, if it's coming from renewables.
Okay.
And also, it's not been stored, it's just electricity. Anyway, it's better that you switch it off.
Okay, good.
It's definitely better that you switch it off. But
Plug points?
Yeah,
if there's nothing in them. Because you can only draw electricity when something has something to take it from.
That's a myth.
I think that's how isn't that just physics?
I'll try. I don't know the answer to this, so try and find out and add it
that's
in over
not
the
like,
top
if that's
of this.
Plug socket's on. There's not electricity coming out of
it. No, it's not coming out of it. No, obviously not.
No, but if it's on and you stuck your finger in,
yeah,
you'd get electrocuted. But
That's because it's allowed the circuit to complete if you put something in there.
Yeah, but if it's switched
off,
you wouldn't get electrocuted.
But that's because it's not allowing... there's a circuit... it stopped the circuit from working.
I think Sunil's probably right.
I don't think it's using electricity...
Yeah.
Okay. I think none of us know.
None of us know.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. No. Nobody can ever
Nobody
know.
In the whole world
Nobody
knows.
Will ever know.
Warm houses, cold houses?
I would say I have a cold house. I'm a big advocate of wearing layers in the house.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah? Should we go for cool?
Cool. I'll go for cool.
Great. Home energy, any of energy efficiency improvements?
I think I've got all of them except solar panels and solar water heater and low flow fittings to taps and showers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have all of those except solar panels, solar water heater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are not, you don't seem like you own all the stuff, unnecessary things.
I do, but not many of these things.
Okay.
As in, like, I haven't bought big electrical items in the last year. Maybe
in the last year I haven't, but I've had them.
Yeah,
before.
But in the last year, that's
fine.
No,
I haven't bought anything.
Okay.
Laptop?
Laptop?
You got
last
a new laptop,
year?
Didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh.
It's easy to forget these little things because it's like, also, they're upgradable and you keep having to.
Like, I got a phone in the new this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did get a new laptop, you're right. Everything else is the same.
Unnecessary stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you need a laptop, but also.
As you can tell on clothes, I spend nothing.
I spend a lot of money, but because I don't like buying cheap sort of sweatshop stuff.
Yeah.
So on a month, maybe it averages out at like 50.
Okay.
Over 50.
Yeah.
A month, it averages out.
Wow.
But that's going to mark me down for doing the good thing.
That's all right. We'll see what happens.
I mean, it is about the points.
Guys got pets?
I don't, but I do want to get one.
Wish I had one.
Oh, well, it's good. It's good that you don't. Typical month, health, grooming?
0 to 10, I'd say.
Yeah.
TV, phone, internet connections, what do you spend?
1 to... Oh, actually, internet, 30 to 60, I guess, totally.
60 plus for me.
Oh, yeah.
Sky and everything.
Big internet, man.
Oh, Sky.
You've got to have it. Yeah. I mean, I don't, but I wish I did.
I recycle everything.
No, you don't.
Except food.
Yeah, food. I
don't compost food.
I do recycle food, yeah, tin cans, glass. Yeah, all of them. All of them.
Here we go.
I've got 3 bins.
So we've gone through a footprint calculator with Ishan and Sunil. We're about to find out what their emissions are.
Uh-oh, I'm so nervous.
Here we go. So, Sunil, would you
give you my score?
Like to give you
my carbon footprint is 91%.
Ah,
yes. Well, how many tons? It should tell you
how many tons of CO2.
Yeah, on the left hand side there should be a little
10.
Oh,
no, sorry, 9.1. Yeah, 9.1.
9.1.
That's, I guess, because 10 is the average.
It's like he has absolutely screwed this up.
Have I?
Yeah, he screwed us up.
Yeah, 9.6.
9.6, okay, yeah.
Great.
Well done, me.
Wow, so we have a winner. Ishan, what would you like to tell the world yours?
How about
my carbon footprint is 114%.
It's because you got Sky.
So this is of the target. So the target's 10.5 tons. Yeah, so yeah. Sunil actually comes in under the target.
Who would have thought?
And I'm on 12 tons.
You're on 12 tons. But that's actually pretty good as well. It's not too bad. Most of that will be the fights that you took in the last year,
yeah.
I would imagine.
I wish I was polluting more, to be honest. You sound like you have a way better life. Yeah. You know, they were with five people.
Yeah, I'm enjoying myself.
You've got an SUV, you're doing well.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem, that he is seen as someone to aspire to.
Yeah. He's on Instagram before. Yeah, like, yeah, I want to be like him.
Old blue tick Akbar over here. It's 40% travel on my thing, on the pie chart. Yeah.
Well, that's the job, isn't it, unfortunately, job, as well.
Yeah. So it's just, if you can combine the job and the holiday together when you travel, I think that's a good way of...
Which is what I've done.
Great.
Yeah,
okay.
Completely tax deductible.
Well, that's good.
Then.
You're doing... Yeah, and tax deductible. That's the reason I was saying. Yeah. Environmentally great and tax deductible.
Just do one gig, mate. Write it all off.
Yeah, done.
Great. So, I mean, we have a new old environmentalist of the year.
Damn it.
Sunil Patel.
There's no question for how many ponds have you made? I would have smashed that.
Yeah. I was a young prodigy and now in my older age, you know, I've passed the mantle on.
Oh, dear.
Yes. But you're doing pretty well. I think both of you are doing pretty well there. That's, you know, there's people considerably worse than that have been on here.
Is there a leaderboard somewhere?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep an update of who it is. I think Ben Clark had the lowest the last time, but I think...
Well, we can shame him.
I think you might not be in the lead.
What, really?
I will double check, but I think... I mean, there's only been like...
That's wow.
There's only been like 9 episodes. But, you know, we're still early doors here, but so far, I think...
That's impressive.
Sunil might be in the lead.
I'm going to go on more holidays. That's what I've learned from this.
And there we go. We have learned nothing today. But thanks, guys, for coming on.
Pleasure.
Thanks
Thank
for
you
having us.
No, hugely appreciate it. All right. Do you want to... I mean, I'll plug some stuff on your behalf, but do anything you want to plug right now?
You can follow me on Instagram, Sunil Patel Solutions.
Similarly, follow me on all the socials at Ishan Akbar. But my Soho Theatre show is coming up April the 7th to the 11th. So book tickets for that.
Go and see that.
It's a very good show.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. That was a terrific episode with Sunil and Ishan, which I have very much enjoyed recording with them. We did it really, it was recorded in February. Quite early in the morning as well. They were very nice enough to come and record so early in the morning. We went for breakfast afterwards, which was lovely. And I'll post a picture up of them having breakfast, hopefully. And I drank too much coffee and nearly had a panic attack. But yeah, so this episode was supposed to come out in February. I was then going to plug a bunch of their stuff, which will no longer be happening because live comedy is not a thing anymore. I will plug the fact that they have a podcast on the BBC Radio Asian Network called Ishan, Sunil and Nim. Do have a look at that, I think. Well, look, listen to it. Let's go on. You have to look to find it and then you listen to it. I think it'll be on BBC Sounds. Also on BBC Sounds, I have a BBC Radio 4 pilot out with Mark Watson, called Mark Watson and Matt Winning Seriously Though, The Planet. So do have a look for that on BBC Sounds, give it a listen. We are fingers crossed, hopeful of getting a lot more of those. And it's about climate change. Basically, myself and Mark trying to tackle a different topic every week. And the pilot episode's about food, so go and check that out. You can find Ishan online. He is on Twitter at Ishan Akbar. He's also, his Twitter handle is Michael Packentire, which is very funny. And Sunil is at Sunil D. Patel. You can check them out there. I am at MattyWin85. And if you want to get in touch with us and stuff like that, absolutely go ahead. There is an operationearth@gmail.com. I think there's an email address. Basically, I don't check it very often, so maybe just contact me through my website. My email address is on my website, mattywin@hotmail.com. Also on Instagram, I joined Instagram. Oh, I've been posting up pictures of my face, that sort of thing. Yeah, trying to get to grips with it a little bit. It's quite a lot of fun, but I'm not using it that much. Yes, you can get in contact with us there. If you get any questions or just want to chat or whatever, do get in contact. That'd be lovely. We should have some more episodes coming out soon as well. And then hopefully start recording some more when we're allowed to meet people. Or maybe I'll do some over the old internet. It's hard right now because climate change very much isn't going away at all. In fact, I'm working on a report looking at what the impact will be of COVID-19 on emissions this year. It's interesting. People ask questions about it and are like, oh, it's a good thing, isn't it? Because people don't do stuff. And you're like, yeah, it's sort of a good thing, but it's also a massive distraction. In fact, I wouldn't say it's not a good thing because it is a massive distraction. It's more like just a blip. I'd rather things were happening as normal and we changed what normal was. Anyway, getting too serious. What else should I say? It's tough, this, isn't it? Been stuck in a house for a month or more. I'm sure other people who normally have to do stuff like this, a whole newfound level of respect for them. We are in the process of a lot of big life things. Basically, I felt like my life was just coming together about 2 or 3 months ago, and I was ready to do lots of things. And all of those things are, well, some of them aren't on hold because you can't not have a baby. Other things like that, and a bunch of other things are on hold. So it's an odd time. Anyway, I'll let you go. I'm writing a book as well. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell people that or not, but I'm writing a book, and it'll be out probably next year, in the summer, long time. So that's good, because I would normally been worrying about not doing a show at the Edinburgh Festival this year or something like that, or trying to write something, and that's not happening. So there'll be more stuff next year. But climate change will be back. Everybody will be banging on about it again next year. So thanks for listening. This episode was edited and produced by Daniel Drever. He also did the music. Do check out Daniel online. Wonderful musician. There was also help from Emma Corsham as well, and the logo was by Chum Chi Design. Thanks so much for listening. Take care of yourselves. Bye bye.
Comedy as a weapon to fight climate change. It's presented by Dr. Matt Winning. Listen to it.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.